Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 793 for the week of November 15, 2025. I'm Chris Privet here, bringing you the latest games in Steam's Animal Fest, which is a game promotion that a game you tried to give me, Kelly, or show me, Kelly, which is a Vampire Survivors-like. It linked to this promotion on the top of the thing, and then it's like, okay, let's go through all the cat games for Kelly, and I went to the front page of Steam and tried to find this Animal Fest, and it's not anywhere to be found. So I don't understand why it's a secret Steam event. Steam event, I found two adult-only Steam events this morning. Like, there are sales of just adult games.
But I imagine that those aren't on the front page either.
They are.
Oh, they are?
If you have the settings set to show that stuff, if you go down to the event section, they were linked there. So I could find those, but I couldn't find, like, the cozy animal games where you're running a cat, a coffee shop as a cat. That, no, we don't advertise that. But match three games where you take the clothes off of people, that we advertise. I don't understand anything with Steam. Hi, Kelly Ryan.
Hi. I feel guilty for trying to show you a cute, cuddly Vampire Survivors.
You shouldn't.
Now.
Why? Just two more to put on the pile.
Hole.
Yeah. And also Josh Carpenter.
Hey.
Searching through, like, cute, cuddly animal games to put in your library in anticipation for the new Steam hardware announced.
You sound very excited for the Gabe Cube.
Yes.
Gabe Cube.
Gabe Cube, yes.
No.
I didn't think of that one. Yes.
I can't take credit for that. I've heard that other places. Oh,
okay, because I have a Gabe Gear sticker on my Steam Deck. Now I will have to Redbubble a Gabe Cube sticker for the inevitable. Well, darn, now I can't do... What should I do, the Companion Cube or the Gabe Cube?
Oh, that's why you're calling it the Companion Cube. Are they doing a skin? They should.
Yeah, I put it in the sheet.
Oh. Where?
It would
help if I go to the correct week.
Yeah, that would probably help. It's the one that Kelly put in below.
The one true skin.
Coming 2026. Don't need this.
I don't need it, but
the D-brand skin, though, that makes sense. Good job, D-brand. That, since it's just a skin, that's better.
Yes, somebody is going to come up with a GameCube skin for this, and then probably have it get pulled by Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they will definitely get sued.
I see prototypes for, like, a purple skin for it. But I want one that mimics the GameCube.
Well, I mean, they said they were going to put out the specs so you could, like, 3D print your own, at least the front attachment thing. No?
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
It's designed for that.
But what I'm curious about is the pricing of this thing. Because they said it's going to have similar specs to the Steam Deck. And I imagine without the screen, it wouldn't be as expensive.
Well, no, it's definitely stronger specs than the Steam Deck, at least from a from a graphic standpoint. That the price is going to be, like, the make or break for it. Mm-hmm. And of course they've said nothing about that. They wouldn't even hint at where the pricing is going to end up, which these days it's kind of, you know, hey, you announce something now and in 2 weeks it could be totally different.
God, if they could come in at $400 and be cheaper than all of the major consoles, that would be such a win.
Oh, I mean, it seems like that's what they're going for. This is not really, you know, there were some people out there who were kind of upset that it wasn't. They are claiming 4K 60. I'm not sure that the graphics can, even with FSR, can really do 4K 60 and
no,
you know, like,
yeah,
the top line games. But That price point is going to be the key thing. Like, if they can get anywhere close to $400 or $500, I think it'll do really well. And I mean, like, with Xbox kind of like slowly exiting the scene, there's no reason they couldn't come in and kind of like almost take over that new role.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that you don't even need a necessarily the dedicated controller they announced with it. You could probably just use any old Bluetooth you have lying around. And the fact that you can put in your own SD card to upgrade the storage.
That and they're at least the RAM and the the M2 drives in it are going to be upgradable.
Oh, cool.
It may be a bit of an ordeal to upgrade them, but they are technically they're not soldered on. Those parts aren't soldered on.
What about putting a solid state in it?
Yeah, like the M2 SSD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know that's what you meant by an M2.
Sorry. Is that connector? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what I ended up putting in my PS5, and that was a pretty painless. I had a harder time getting the panel off of that than I did putting the SSD in.
Yeah.
And I waited for Prime Day to get a decent deal on an SSD. But they had also announced a dedicated VR headset for it.
Well, I have a game you could play on that, Kelly. It's called I Am Cat.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to get that for my MetaQuest.
Got mixed reviews, but you do get to do cat mayhem, so probably is enough for you.
If it doesn't give me motion sickness.
Well, you know.
Because even the non-VR version of Cat Lateral Damage made me sick as a dog.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm not optimistic there for you.
But I like how the VR headset looks a lot lighter than the MetaQuest, and it doesn't even necessarily have to do VR, just doing basically the Google Glass thing in your face.
It is, and the way they're trying to like sell it as both like a like the Meta where you can just play stuff on your own, but then you can also get streaming from your own gaming PC.
Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome.
Questions about the Steam thing.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Why is the main Steam question?
Then? Like,
so like, didn't they already have a headset for VR that they just kind of gave up on?
They had that Index. In the Index that was like what was it, like $800 or $1,000?
Oh, but now we're doing it again. And it's fine because you can replace part of the hardware, I guess.
Well, no. This one, I mean, the plus is that it's wireless; that there's no connection between your PC.
Which means it's less powerful.
Yes, and that we'll see how well.
But like wireless is what. So the Oculus is wireless now, and that's been a decent hit comparatively, at least. Okay, so I'm just looking at this. We've got a new VR headset where I don't really understand how it compares to the other VR headsets out there. Like, where does it slot in power?
It looks significantly lighter.
Lighter, okay.
As in, one of the reasons why I don't really like my Oculus as much as I would like is because it feels like I've got a brick strapped to my face after a while.
Okay, so we got that. I don't know where that compares. We've got the Steam Deck, but they're not updating anything about the Steam Deck, which
not
still
yet.
Makes me sad. We've got another Steam controller. This is from the company that already put out a Steam controller and then canceled it, right?
Yeah, but this controller is more basically a Steam Deck, but without the screen.
Yeah, it's got two giant pads under the thumbsticks for mouse stuff. Those pads work great on the Steam Deck, but there's room for them on the Steam Deck. They've had to do weird things with this controller. It looks like it's deformed.
It looks very strange in the photographs.
Yeah.
The impressions I read, I didn't really read anyone complaining about it being uncomfortable, but it does look a little big and ungainly.
Well, that's fine then, I guess.
I mean, like, for doing WoW and Final Fantasy 14, where you kind of need mouse. I can see where that would help. You can also get a decent Bluetooth chat pad on Amazon for $20 that will do the same thing.
A chat pad will do this?
Yeah.
It's well, got mouse panels on it?
Yeah. The Bluetooth chat pad I have has like a little touchpad that operates like a mouse.
Nice. Okay.
And a wireless keyboard. It's basically how I was playing Final Fantasy XI with you guys over the summer. So for stuff that you really needed the mouse for, it was kind of handy.
So this controller doesn't have the keyboard part, but it has the two mouse pads, which I guess is something.
Yeah.
Plug and play with the Steam controller puck. One puck, two jobs. It's a wireless transmitter, and it's a charging station. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Little click. They're using TMR sticks. All right, so they've got the good, like, one step above Hall Effect sensors now for the sticks. That's very important. So those sticks will probably not wear out on you.
Is that what's like on the Xbox Elite controller and the PS5?
They don't all have the good sticks, actually.
No. Yeah.
You have to third party replace some of those on some of those. Like, I think the PlayStation one doesn't have Hall Effects or TMR. You need to replace it with a third, but the third party replacements for those exist because those controllers are more serviceable and editable kind of. But
gotcha.
This is the stuff that's like, I think the newest 8-bit Do Ultimates have these type of sticks and people love them. So
are those also like $150 controllers?
The 8-bit Do Ultimate is not $150, but also not cheap.
I was just thinking about like bandwidth sticks and stuff, but this could be a $200 controller, the Steam one.
Did they give a price?
No, they didn't give prices on any of this stuff.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So like the, all right, so for 8-bit Do's Ultimate 2... They have the Ultimate 3 anyway. Yeah, those are like $70 retail.
Okay, that's not that bad.
I hear nothing but good things about them. So they're on my mind of something I wouldn't mind obtaining. But then I think about when I would use it, and I don't know. Anyway, because I have... Actually, no, I do know where I would use it. So right now, if you're on the stream, you can see I have a controller in my hand. Do the camera full screen. And it's very red. And the camera's color balance is not set right now, so it looks super duper red. What the heck?
Is that a custom Xbox one?
It sure is.
What that said you set you back?
I don't know. Whatever they charge for those. We got them a few years ago. I got one that's RP Gamer colors with the red and the yellow. But that also means it's also ketchup and mustard colors, depending on how you want to look at that.
I see it as Kansas City Chiefs colors.
There you go. You could look at it like that too. Andy got one that's all purple and stuff. That's his. And the problem is that they are the Xbox One / Series controller, and so they are very loud. Everything you do on it is very loud. And I think that there are better controller designs that aren't as loud like the PlayStation 5 controller. So. And I bet this 8-bit Do is quieter as well, because how couldn't it be?
and I'm hung up on the price, because I have to admit that $90 for the Switch Pro 2 Pro controller kind of hurt.
That is weird when there are other things like the 8-bit Do ones that are probably better than that Pro controller and I think work with the Switch 2.
I mean,
the rumble will be better on the Pro controller because it'll have their super precise rumble stuff, right? But.
Yeah, I went with the Pro the Nintendo branded controller because I like the Switch 1 Pro controller a lot, and I like the customizable buttons on the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's just that back in
how
my
are they
day,
customizable? What does that mean?
You can do it through the OS. You can just make them any.
You do
button.
It with any paired controller, or do they not work with other controllers?
I just don't work. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's just like with Pokemon, or no, with like Power Wash Simulator, I liked doing the L3 and R3 click buttons on the customizable ones because it was a little bit easier to press those than to press the button. But you can pretty much put any button you want. As it like a Pokemon, I did basically like a one-handed mode
The
with the
battery
gun.
life on the Nintendo Pro Controller is also excellent. Even when I leave it for like 2 weeks and don't use it, just pick it right up, it's still great, you know? Definitely
Unlike
not the case for a PlayStation controller.
no. But old lady yelling at Cloud back in my day, the extra controller was $20. Or if you wanted to be cheap, get a Mad Catz for 10 and regret your life choices. But when you're a broke 10-year-old, that's all you can afford.
I mean, given this is from Steam, has all the top-end controller features, I could see this costing $90 if they wanted it to. And that's sad.
I could personally see it being a $200 controller, to be
No,
honest with
I don't
you.
think that
You
hits the
don't think so?
price style that they're going for.
Nah.
I mean, we'll see.
So, oh, good. They put a banana for scale on the Steam PC.
Hey, they know their audience. What I'm expecting is that they're probably gonna have like different bundles for these, where you could get the set-top box, the VR, and the controller for, I don't know, maybe $1,000, depending on what the price points are.
I like how the other than like having easily accessible USB-A ports on the front of the thing, which is that's a choice that nobody makes anymore. This thing basically looks like a small Xbox Series X.
Yeah, it's like half the size, basically.
The question is it as powerful as a Series X or less powerful? Because that's kind of the question for me compared to that. So, semi-custom AMD RDNA 3 28 CUs. I mean, it's a decent mini gaming PC. That seems like instead of building your own living room PC, just doing this is a much easier choice and it'll be pretty nice for that purpose.
I mean,
Got
the
old
biggest
Bluetooth,
problem
but
with it
okay.
is just the amount of VRAM for the graphics, because they're limited to 8 gigs. So that kind of is a
Oh, I didn't even see that. Oh,
yeah, that's
no,
the one.
it says 16 plus 8. Maybe.
It's 16 for the system RAM and then 8 for the VRAM.
Which means, but it might be shared.
Could be, I suppose.
The system
It
RAM would
is a
be
custom,
much
setup.
slower, though, because you're talking DDR5 versus GDDR6. So I don't know how well that'll go. All right. You have two hard drive options, and I assume you could just put your own in, right? And then SD cards, because that's, I guess it makes sense as a gaming console to have a. All right, fine. It's last gen Wi-Fi. It's only 6E instead of 7, but it doesn't really need it for this. The HDMI and DisplayPort specs are kind of low end, but again, given what's in there, it's all you need. Have a few ports, not as many as I expected. Gigabit Ethernet, that's. What else? What else was weird here? Oh, yeah, they've got the controller adapter integrated, so you don't need to put that little puck into this Steam box to use your Steam controller.
Oh, that puck's just for your PC?
I mean, you could use it with this because that puck also charges your controller, but as far as,
Oh, okay.
and of course, if you have the puck on, then you're in wired mode. So those two functionalities, maybe you'll want to plug it in for. But other than that, the wireless works without it. It's just built into this box, so that's neat. Then you just like have the controller on your couch and plug it into a normal USB-C cable to charge, I bet. For sure, because I don't have one. There were a lot of videos made about this. I think Valve had press on site to check it out, so you can go watch a billion things on YouTube.
Yeah, there's a really good Digital Foundry one on it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, do that. This person's
I'll
like
have to
sitting here
watch.
just doing 3D development on this Steam box, which is weird. Oh, wow. But okay,
I mean, it's a PC, you know, it's got
yeah,
Linux.
Yeah, it's a PC running Linux. So, but he's got Windows on it. So,
I think they said at the that press thing, like, yeah, you want to install Windows, you can.
Yeah, that's what
you
this know, person it's a PC. Did. Well,
I also thought that like the dev mode was kind of an advertised feature, so that you can dev on it.
Mm.
I mean, what does dev mode really mean in this case? It's just a PC, so that's just, I would just call that desktop mode on my Steam Deck is dev mode, because now I have a desktop and I can do whatever I want. Steam Frame is the other one that I didn't look at much. Okay, so we've got all the VR games that came out 2 to 3 years ago that nobody cares about anymore. Or is it 5 to 6 years ago at this point? Yeah. Have wireless adapter and dual radios. Okay, great. Oh, you get a 6 gig wireless. So this thing has Wi-Fi 7, doesn't it?
So yeah, it has like it sets up a dedicated Wi-Fi connection so that it goes directly. Yeah.
Good idea. They've got speakers built in, so you don't have to wear headphones as well if you don't want to. It runs standalone play. And so then it does connect to the PC for stuff, doesn't it?
Yes.
But wirelessly.
Yes.
Okay. That's a big freaking deal. Because wireless display has kind of been abandoned since the Wii U. So someone doing like a Wi-Fi for your video, so that your powerful PC can render it and just display it to your fancy snazzy goggles for you. That's a great idea. I'm interested to hear how that goes.
And they're also integrating some of the technology where it looks at where your eye is.
Yeah, foveated rendering is what that's called. And yeah, they're like, yeah, we're doing that. But we're doing it foveated streaming, which means...
Where's the lag in that?
Yeah. I don't know how that's... Like, okay... Foveated streaming is an interesting idea, but if you have a good enough PC that can render the whole image without needing foveated rendering, can you maybe just have a wireless stream that's able to just stream the whole image without foveated streaming? Or is the only reason this even looks anywhere good over the wireless is because you're not really streaming the full image at full quality? Because That's the big concern. How is that going to look? And what you just said, as your eye moves, does it keep up immediately? Or is there a little bit of lag where when you move your eye drastically, it's a little fuzzy for a split second? That'll be an issue. Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see. Because like that worries me. Because that means it's not streaming the whole picture at full bandwidth. And probably because it can't or something. Anyway, this will be fun to see how it reviews. Yeah.
The other thing that I didn't see that I ended up getting from my MetaQuest was custom lenses for my eyeglass prescription.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they didn't say whether or not
I don't know. That's a great question. Does it support wearing glasses underneath the thing easily, and or do they offer lens attachments? Like the whole thing is easy to take apart and replace parts in. So like maybe, you know, if nothing else, someone will make some pancake lenses maybe for you, but yeah, I don't.
Cause with the Oculus, I had to install some like little covers that had magnets that then attach my custom eyeglass lenses. And but my God, trying to find ones that were somewhat affordable was a pain because...
I thought they only had like one main supplier for those.
Depending on what you Google, there was like a couple of different companies. The ones that were custom with my prescription were like $400, which is pretty... standard for my prescription, but I found a company that was like, no matter what your prescription, it's a flat $80, and that's what I ended up getting for my Oculus.
Do they work out? Is it good? Okay, good.
Yeah,
that's I imagine we'll see something like that here. I don't know if it supports it natively or if it's going to be a bit hacky to put them on, but
with any luck, it'll be kind of plug and play customization.
Hope so. But yeah, I don't see it mentioned here, and that's sad because I think that's really, 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 really smart is to just have the lens correction in there so you don't need your glasses on, because that's a major comfort concern when you have something sitting on top of your glasses.
Because my issue was that my glasses were fogging up when I had the Oculus over.
But we'll see. And of course, you can watch the videos of people who've used it, and then we'll see how it goes once it comes out. If it's good and people love it, this might be the next VR thing we buy. Because that I don't even think Andy wants to really be in the Meta ecosystem when you could instead be in the Steam one.
Exactly. Who does?
My main issue with the Meta system is that nothing goes on sale.
Mm-hmm. That's one of many issues, I bet.
Oh, that, and if you get banned from Facebook, your game library is kaput.
That's no good.
Well, maybe don't be an asshole on Facebook.
Maybe.
Hard, I know.
Very difficult. Did you play anything this week, Ellie?
I played that Shard Squad that got you down the rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Pun intended. Shard Squad is a new Vampire Survivors-like that came out this week. I think it was in early access for a little while. It's basically Vampire Survivors, but with cute and cuddly animals. And the big twist with this one is that each level has like different events that can happen that will give you bonuses. Like one of the events was get 3 basketballs into the hoop or collect so many leaves. I mean, it's basic events and stuff, but it kind of plays up the gameplay or adds a little bit of variety to the gameplay a little bit. And yeah, cute cuddly animals. You're rescuing more cute cuddly animals. I don't know if the weapons have any evolutions yet. I haven't played it enough. Because even though it's cute, the game is kind of slow compared to other Survivors that I've played. I don't know, maybe it's meant to be more for younger children that can't quite handle the bullet hell. But it was like $6-7 and I already wrapped up ball cross pit. Or was it just ball pit? And I was hankering for a new Survivors like, and I played a little bit of it and it's cute. I'm not sure how much I'm going to continue with it. But yeah, that was one of the things I played, and then I rolled credits on Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment.
That didn't take you long.
Yeah, it's pretty short. Oh. I'm still, though, I mean, there's a lot of side stuff to do. Because after the credits roll, you unlock vicious levels, which have like some pretty high level hit like a truck enemies to it, to the point where I think I almost died for the first time trying to take on a Lionel. That was one of these vicious ones. And I'm trying to complete all of the maps, because there's some bonus stuff you can unlock by completing all of the maps. Talking about the ending of a prequel is weird.
Because you know where it ends, but is it a spoiler?
Yeah, because if you've seen the opening of Tears of the Kingdom, you've seen the ending of this game. Have any of you watched Rogue One? The Star Wars Rogue movie?
Yeah.
Kind of like how that ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the start of A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
The real fun is guessing, like, what do you know about the previous game that's going to happen at the end of this game? And I had 2 guesses, and at least one of them was correct. But I don't want to go into the other one because that's spoilers for both games. But I just thought, I always think it's kind of interesting when you're playing a prequel and where they're going to end it. Like if they're going to leave some ambiguity there, it's like, nope, you're pretty much setting up the not the sequel slash original game. But it's still worth playing just because it's a Warriors game and it is so fun. Has Andy still been playing it?
I don't know that Andy's played much of it since then, but...
Okay. Because, like, the Knight Construct, the Link character, can equip a bunch of different weapons, and you get quests for, you know, defeating 100 enemies with a sword or 100 enemies with a spear. And I'd been kind of going sword and board through the majority of the main game because one of the Construct's moves is the shield surf from Tears and Breath of the Wild, which is kind of fun because it plows through enemies. But then I had a quest that said, hey, try beating 100 enemies with spears. And I equipped the Knight Construct with a spear, and my god, where has that been the whole game? I should have equipped a spear from the start, because just the way that character hits with a spear, it's so wide-reaching and so powerful that it was a literal game changer. Chris, I felt like when you equip certain weapons with Monster Hunter and the floor is lava.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm bringing this up, because, like, guys, if you're playing around with this game, I suggest trying different weapons with the Knight Construct, and I think some of the other side characters can equip different weapons too. But really try out the different weapons and see which one fits you the best. Because I wish I would have known how powerful spears were from the beginning of the game. And that's kind of a thing with Warriors games, is that you kind of find your niche and you end up in your comfort zone. But then all of a sudden a quest gets you to try, like, a different weapon or a different character, and it's like, oh, this is really fun. And the Knight Construct character is kind of stretchy. And that's like, huh, I kind of want to pick up the One Piece Pirate Warriors game now.
Oh, no.
You're going down a Warriors rabbit hole?
Yeah, I haven't looked into that game yet. I have it on PSN. I booted it up a long time ago just to try it out, and wasn't in a Warriors mood. But I don't know. I might boot it up. But at the same time, I've also had that Rune Factory game sitting waiting for my Switch 2, and I'm dying to boot that up too. So I don't know. Which rabbit hole do I want to infinitely go down? The Warriors or the farming? And then this Animal Fest has had farming games on sale that I've had my eye on for a while too.
Mm.
So I don't
more
know.
Time wasters, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no shortage of those.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to finish all the quests in Hyrule Warriors first, because I've still got a bunch of a little bit of the map to unlock and a bunch of the side quests to finish. Because it unlocks some... there's a character that makes a sketchbook in the game, and it... When you finish all the areas on the map screen, it unlocks sketches from this character's sketchbook, and I want to see some of that stuff. And the game is just so fun, I don't want to put it down yet.
So good.
Good. Could be. I feel like this could be a contender for my game of the year. And it's going to be a hard pick this year with all the cool stuff that came out.
Yeah.
Between Pirate Yakuza and Clair Obscur and Fantasy Life. There's way too many good games this year. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've played this week.
Works. What about you, Josh?
I've just been ticking along further in Outer Worlds 2. And honestly, I've been enjoying it. The further I've gotten in it, the more I've liked it. I think the writing has gotten, you know, is... kind of like bringing me in more. Now that I've gotten past like the first world and kind of moved on to the later part, like a little bit further into the game, you get past that just initial conflict between Auntie's Choice and the kind of the totalitarian one. You start seeing some of the other factions, and they're a little bit more interesting. Like the Order is like completely focused around math. Everyone is like all about like using math to do everything, make
Oh,
all their
okay.
predictions. They're completely like linear. They're kind of like a fun, interesting group to interact with. And I'm having a lot of fun kind of like building up my character, to totally be built around speech and just kind of like get around all the combat by just like talking my way through it. That's how I usually like to build in those kind of games, you know? Like get to the final boss and just kind of like convince the boss to kind of like give up. I always enjoy
That's funny.
that. Like, no, don't you realize this is all pointless? You should just give up. And he's like, oh, okay.
You're right.
After a
I
bit.
will.
You are so great at talking, you've convinced me. Yes, I should give up and join you. I didn't think about that before.
So it sounds like the game's kind of come around with you, because weren't you kind of lukewarm on it the last time we talked?
Yeah, the opening, it does not have the best op the best first world is not was not exactly my favorite. I think it's gotten better as it's gone along. And like our reviewer had they unfortunately played it on PS5 and talked about how buggy it was. I've had just like nothing basically. It has been rock solid on PC. There's been like once or twice where a character is talking and like you're not able to hear them, their voice acting. And I think it's kind of like an interference, like the game, like some of the Fallout games have different radio stations you can listen to. You can pick whatever or from a certain set of radio stations. And I've had that happen a couple of times where I think maybe the radio station is interfering with the voice acting, where it's just not, most of the time it just like the voice acting comes in over the radio. And I've had just a couple of different instances where, someone's talking, I can see the text is coming up at the bottom of the screen, but you just can't hear them. But that's been it. I mean, very minor kind of thing. I've had no quest bug. I've not had any weird visual artifacts. It's just been, like it has just played perfectly. Kind of like surprisingly solid for, a Western Obsidian game.
You made me just remember my one complaint about Hyrule Warriors,
Yeah.
and that it takes from the Trails in the Sky method of voice acting, where like the first sentence in a scene will be voice acted, and then the rest of it will just be completely silent,
Oh
even though the
no.
characters' mouths are moving.
Oh no. Yeah, that could be. It's an acquired thing you have to get used to in Trails games.
I hate that so much.
Such a bizarre choice that they decided to go down that path.
Because in your game it sounds like a bug, in my game apparently it's a feature.
Yeah, this was very much a bug.
I wonder if that for their radio stations they have like a voice modulator that toggles on and off, and it sometimes it's bugged where it doesn't toggle off.
Probably. It's probably something like that. Like I said, it
Either.
wasn't a big deal because I've got the subtitles on at the bottom
Yeah.
anyway, so I can see what's going on. I can follow what's going on. And I've just kind of learned when I'm in like one of the sections where, okay, there's a lot of story going on, just turn the radio off. No issues then.
And are you like me where you turn on subtitles no matter what now?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That is the only way to play. Just so I don't miss anything, just in case, if for no other reason. I did play it a little bit on the Steam Deck. The performance there is passable. Kind of the hard. Well, it's really hard coming from like playing on PC where I'm, like it's just constantly running at 90-100 frames a second, and then go down to Steam Deck and it's like running at barely 30, and you can really notice, you know, like you play it back to back and it's a rough transition. Yeah, the bigger problem there is just, you know, especially reading text can be quite hard. Although, admittedly, I didn't spend a lot of time trying to kind of like dig into the settings, because there are quite a few on modifying that kind of stuff to kind of get it to work better on Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Kind of one of those, it's playable, but you should really just play it on the PC. Like, the gameplay itself is shooting and action, so that doesn't really lend itself as well to the Steam Deck anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that the game kind of picked up for you. It sounds like you're having a better time.
Yeah, I am, actually. Yeah. It is very much one of those games where I think the beginning of the game is kind of like, and then it kind of like hits its stride as it goes along. The side characters that you get also get become more and more interesting as it goes along. Like, the writing on them is quite good.
Because comparing it to Starfield last week, it sounded like Starfield never really got past its early slog.
No. That I mean, like, I bailed on that. What was that, after like 8-10 hours, something like that? It was just so mediocre. Like, that was the frustrating thing there. Even if it had been bad but interesting, that could be one thing. But Starfield was just like, boy, this is just such a bland game. I can't be bothered to keep going. I think Chris got pissed at me for playing it. He was like, you sound bored. Just quit it.
Wasn't it free on Game Pass? Game Pass?
Yeah, that was Game Pass one.
At least you didn't pay any money.
Well, you kind of do, but whatever.
Well, yeah.
Especially now.
Yeah. So what have you been playing, Chris?
So, I have... After Extra Life last week, I did not end up going back to another Crab's Treasure, because I wanted to finish some other stuff. So I've been playing more... Mega Bonk usually at night. I've been playing what is the other game?
I see you bit on the cute shard game.
Yeah, well, you've got me playing that right now, but I didn't play that through the week. Okay. Did I play some more? I thought about playing more Tactics. I think I for whatever reason didn't get into Tactics this week because I just didn't have a lot of time. I did like I was messing around with like my home lab and like computer stuff because I'm a nerd. And then my friends finally broke me and I started playing the new Path of Exile season. I'm sorry.
It was inevitable.
So it sounded like a good season. I wanted to try it out and people I know were actually playing it and they're like, well, why don't you play with us? And I'm like, oh, okay. So now it's cool to play PoE. All right, fine. I go back and play some PoE. And so, yeah, I started playing PoE. My character build is normal, bog standard, Righteous Fire start for the season. But this season, the reason I even cared about it, this season is mechanic seems pretty nice. So they took the breach mechanic, which is like a little thing where you would find a thing on the map, walk over it, and then a big circle would open up and a bunch of hidden enemies would suddenly show up and you try and kill as many as you can and get cool drops from them. Well, they took that mechanic and just kind of souped it up a bit, changed the enemies, changed how it works. Now, like, you're trying to fill up a meter by killing as many of those enemies as you can, and then you get a reward if you can fill it up. You get a reward even if you don't, just for participating, but like, you get better rewards if you can like fill up the meter. And then there's another one where you like defend somebody while they try and close the breach. That's the main core mechanic, but then what you get is a bunch of like juice or power, just some number that goes up when you participate in this event and finish it. And you could take that currency and go fertilize your tree that's made out of hands. So Path of Exile is a weird game, weird lore. This is some sort of eldritch interdimensional demon that needs your help to grow up and be big and strong to beat the other four interdimensional demons that are hanging around. So and they're a big tree for reasons I don't understand. The trees, branches are all hands. Lots of hands. They love hands. These demons are all hands. Very handsy. So you put the juice in the tree, and then the tree gives birth to items for you. And I mean that literally, because it's called womb gifts. Like, it's wow. Real weird. It's gross. And so people call it fertilizing the trussy.
I remember that from last week.
Andy doesn't like that term. But if you feed the tree, I'm gonna set it again. If you feed the tree, you get items out of the tree and currency, and the rewards are really nice. And it's like, yay, thank you, tree. And the tree has its own skill tree. So they gave you a tree with a skill tree to start managing points for, because they know their player base loves skill trees. So here's a skill tree for your tree that gives you stuff when you put stuff in the tree. I've been doing that. That's fun. The end game grind of PoE, I'm not really feeling it right now. So I'm a little worried. Well, not worried, I guess, but I may not hang around in this season very long. So all my concerns about being sucked back into Path of Exile for months and months again, it may not have been warranted. So that's actually a good thing. But I am going to play with the seasonal mechanic a bit more, keep fertilizing my tree, see, kind of finish out the progression of that plot line and see what some of the, when you get to the end of the tree, kind of how powerful those rewards are and get a feel for that, because I like it. It's a fun mechanic. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. I decided to go back the Path of Exile route, instead of, you know, the things I quote unquote should be playing, like Final Fantasy Tactics and, you know, Expedition 33 and every other good, amazing game that came out this year.
I feel like the PoE people missed a golden opportunity to name this new season Manos the Branches of Fate.
Oh, you're right. But also that wouldn't line up with their lore. But
no, but it amuses nerds.
Yeah, instead it's called Keepers of the Flame, which is weird, because there aren't really any flames that I've found, so I don't know what's going on.
No, I think my name's better.
Yeah. That's just because you're a Rift Tracks MST3K fan person.
I spent the whole week trying to memorize the end credit song from Werewolf.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're not wrong.
Good job. Werewolf. Werewolf.
It's because dumb. something we were watching in One Piece was making me think of the opening bits to that song, and mm-hmm. I kept trying to do the song but getting it in the complete wrong order, which really annoys my husband. And also your little Manos hand tree there could have had a stator next to it that said that I watched the tree while the master is away.
That would have been great. That they could do pretty well. Yeah. I watched the tree while the master is away.
I had a friend whose theory was that the only reason that movie was filmed was to do the big cat fight scene at the end.
Oh, absolutely. It had to have been.
So bad.
Also, same friend found out that the little girl from that movie, who's an adult now, obviously, sews dog sweaters with the hands pattern, and she got one made for her cat.
Mm. How delightful. Yeah, I know that she's done a lot of, like, various, like, appearances and stuff related to that. Like, so she's milking the fact that she was the girl in Manos. Mm-hmm. Like, good for her.
I wish I could go back in time and tell Torgo's actor how much people were going to love him in the future.
In a weird way.
Yeah. That one makeout guy in that movie was in the Hotel Torgo documentary. Oh, the one at the beginning where the lady's like, why don't you just leave us alone?
Such quality acting in that thing.
Well, I mean, it was all dubbed after the fact because the film didn't record audio.
Yeah.
So stupid. What a dumb movie. All right, so should we get into feedback?
Probably.
Yeah, do you want to read the wall of text, or should I?
Well, why don't you do it so I can play this game?
Hang on, let me get a drink.
Very important to keep playing this game, Kelly.
From our friend Livy, a.k.a. Lizard Yamato on the Discord. RPG Cast feedback. Hey, everyone. Another week, another podcast. This week, I wanted to tell you guys about a really neat experience I had last weekend. I got invited to go LARPing with a friend of mine. I consider myself a massive nerd, but I have limits, and LARPing fell well outside of those limits. Or so I thought. I arrived to the location at about 2 in the afternoon and was promptly given some equipment for my first time. Clothed in a hat akin to Link's cape and a protective charm, I was then given a sword and shield and forced to go into the forest to go experience combat.
Here.
Before me stood friends and foe alike, all clad in customer outfits. I think he meant
costume.
Some had actual steel plate, others had leather armor. My favorite was a character named Shin, who made a full set of samurai armor out of perler beads that glow in the dark. He used those beads to put runes on his armor, so when it got dark, his armor looked enchanted. Now I'm a relatively jacked individual and love exercising. What I never considered is that LARPing is just nerdy exercising. Yes, it is.
Cross-country roleplay?
However, no amount of muscle could prepare me for the folks who studied the blade.
Okay.
The enemy team had people who fought in medieval MMA, and they absolutely dusted my ass. Mm-hmm. Whether I was getting real life ganked or shot by an arrow, I stood no chance. Managed to get one kill, though, and I felt really great about that. After a couple of hours of getting slapped around, it was time to chill out. That's when folks changed out their armor and donned their casual clothes. Lutes were played, bard sand and fires were blazing. We cooked food, talked about anime, books, and philosophy. I had a full circle moment where one of the players and I were the only ones left at the fire, and we were talking about fantasy art, and I realized that the man across me was dressed as a wise sage, and I was having a conversation with a wizard, like having a conversation with wizard like many of my favorite fantasy characters have had. Sorry, that was a very awkward sentence. In that moment, I had to be honest with myself and admit that LARPing is actually pretty dope. So I'll pass it off on to you. Have any of the hosts had a hobby they were hesitant to try at first but found a passion for? Also, Cyberpunk update. My modding issues are so bad that I had an actual CD Projekt Red employee reach out to me who belonged to another Discord I'm in. He asked me to send my crash logs, and when I did, 10 minutes went by, and he responded with, "This is bad."
This is bad.
So, hobby that I was reluctant, hesitant to try at first, but then found a passion for. My recent one, mini painting. I didn't think I would like it because I am an artist, but the idea of basically coloring on other people's art felt kind of weird since, you know, you're basically painting on people's sculpture. But then because I didn't have to worry about necessarily the composition of the sculpture and could just focus on the coloring, I dove into it like crazy, and I absolutely love it now.
I can't think of one. Is there one that I've done?
Yeah.
What are my hobbies?
I'm trying to think of one. I just found out. Yeah. I just found out there's a tabletop group at work, and I've been thinking about, like, ooh, should I try joining that? I've never done tabletop. That would be, I don't know. Nervous about that.
Are you talking D&D? Or are you talking like Warhammer?
I don't know. Okay. It's just a tabletop group. Gotcha. It didn't say. They have an internal website. So I was like, oh, wow. Oh, okay. I didn't know this existed.
Vaughn, our actual question of the week was, what's your favorite flavor of Skittles? this guy asked, and I think it's going to be our question of the week. What is a hobby that you were hesitant about, but found a passion for? And Vaughn, I know for a fact that resin is this for you. Because I think you were pretty hesitant about starting it.
I'm hesitant about starting, like, 3D printing. Like, I've been thinking about doing that and not invested in it or anything, but I keep thinking about it and not, and I haven't taken the plunge. So that doesn't count really, but, like, if I actually started doing it, maybe it would.
What would you prefer, FDM filament or resin?
I don't know what that means, but okay.
So FDM filament is the plastics. It basically is like one giant string that kind of moves around and
gets melted like hot glue, basically.
Yeah. That's a little more technical and a little more fiddly, but I feel like you can do a lot more with FDM printing. It's a lot easier to kind of do custom stuff for, because you can just make your little files in SketchUp.
Yeah, I want the things that people trade around, and I can just print things instead of buying many of them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, getting your FDM printer set up can be kind of tricky, but there's all sorts of guides for it. That's what my husband does. I do the resin printing, which is a bit more beginner friendly, but it's pretty much limited to making toys. Going on my mini factory and they're like, oh, well, can I print a Puss in Boots from Shrek, and finding a legally distinct cat wearing footwear STL for free. That's basically what resin is, or like when I printed all those slimes for Matt.
So if I want to print like a special holder for some coffee thing that I make or that I use, does it matter which one of those?
That's more FDM.
FDM? Yeah. Okay. Well, then that's the way I would go.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've not researched it very much.
But that's the lovely thing about FDM printing, is that if you need something, like, well, let me design this. And then you go into like a free program like SketchUp or Vaughn, what was the one that I used for that stamp that I printed? It was a free online one. But basically you just, Tinkercad. You could just go in and make yourself a little boxy design and put it through your slicer, and you have boxes, and that's the majority of what your free patterns are going to be on Thingiverse. Like, I had Vaughn print me a Joy-Con holder for one-handed Joy-Con play, because I couldn't really find a commercial one.
I had someone print that for me too.
That's where you're going to find your like Raspberry Pi boxes.
Oh, see, that's what I need. Yeah. Those sorts of things.
One of the things that Vaughn made that was kind of cool was that he has this motion sensor on the stairs so that I can't accidentally sneak up on him. But the cats were constantly setting it off.
Good kids.
So he printed like a box with a French bracket and bolted it into the wall, and it works perfectly. So when I come upstairs, I set it off, but the cats constantly walking up and down the banister don't. So if you have like dumb little life things that are getting on your nerves, you can engineer something easily. Yeah. French cleat. Yeah. What did I say? French bracket.
Yes.
Yeah. Having your own FDM printer is really nice, because you can basically do your own life hacks, or do stupid stuff like have my husband print a crazy taxi arrow for my car.
Perfect.
and you're not into the tabletop and modeling stuff like I am, so
no, yeah,
resin might not be your cup of tea, but I love resin printing. Oh, and FDM printing is a little bit less toxic because resin printing has fumes.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah. Oh, Vaughn also printed a replacement for the gear shifter on the riding lawnmower.
Perfect. That's what I like the idea of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can get a pretty decent FDM printer from like Micro Center for $200. But I would recommend, if you're going to go down this rabbit hole, to get one with the auto leveler on the bed, on the print bed. Okay. Because that will make your life infinitely easier. And then, yeah, your first couple of prints are going to be like different gadgets for your printer, like a caddy for all of your printer tools, and a bracket for your Raspberry Pi cameras so that you can see the progress on your printer. And 3D printing, particularly FDM, is also going to teach you patience and how to let go of things, because your first couple of prints before you figure it out are not going to be so pretty.
It takes hours and hours, and then you get an error at the end and you got to start over again.
You could be like my husband trying to print a D20 the size of a basketball that errored out about halfway through and made a gigantic spaghetti mess.
Nice.
And I'm like, well, we could use it's green. We could use it for Easter grass. And he's like, no, throw it away before the cats eat it. Yeah, Vaughn says an auto bed leveler is necessary, but bumps up the price. So you're looking at about $400 for one with an auto leveler. But I have to admit, it's a fun hobby to get into. It just involves a lot of tinkering.
Yeah.
Tinkering, trial and error. And then you'll be like, well, now I want one with dual filament so that I can print two color things. Actually, I only secondhand know FDM stuff via my husband. The person you want to talk to about FDM stuff is actually Platy, because he has access to 3D printers at his work, and he prints all sorts of things.
I have other friends who are into have printers nearby, so it's like, I'm not. If I really wanted to start learning, I could. It's just I've been hesitant to go down that road, because do I really need to spend all that money for stuff I don't need that much?
No. Like I said, it depends on how much you like just making things for around the house. But yeah. Sorry, I got us on a tangent.
Did, but it was fine. That was good.
It was a good tangent.
No, thank you. It's a hobby that I do enjoy. I also have pictures of Alice passed out onto the tent that Vaughn bought for his 3D printer to hopefully bring down the noise, but all it did was just become a cat bed.
I love it.
From Strawberry Eggs, her favorite Skittles flavors are sour Skittles. She says that she never gave a thought to it, though. And then from Kroll, green. Green is the best Skittles flavor. Skittles aren't a big deal in the UK, so you don't often see beyond the original fruit flavor ones. So yeah, let me copy this. Our question of the week: what's a hobby you were hesitant about but found a passion for? Is that in our question of the week? And then we have a whole bunch of news.
Beep 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 beep.
Do I have to stop playing the cool Survivors game now?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, that just sounds like Pac-Man dying. we've got new media and details for Yakuza Kiwami 3. A Japanese voice cast trailer. What else?
There's also a behind the scenes video, yeah.
Yeah, is this one not being dubbed into English?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay. We've got more details about Kiryu and Yoshitaka Mine's fighting styles with the new screenshots. The Kiwami style includes the new heat abilities. like in the original, in addition to the original in Yakuza 3. What else have we got? I think that was pretty much it. You can read the article for more in-depth details about what's going on, but Yakuza 3 and Dark Ties is a remake of Yakuza 3 with a side story with Mine. And it comes out on February 12th. And I think the Yakuza Kiwami 1 and 2 remakes came out for the Switch this week.
Oh, finally. Okay.
Yeah. We are talking about Kiwami 2 on Backtrack this week, too.
Nice.
Just in time. So you can look forward to that. There was a Japanese state of play this week. It gave us a bunch of news, including that both Digimon Story Time Stranger and Super Robot Wars Y is getting DLC. So Time Stranger Episode Pack 1 is going to release this winter and features new Digi evolution routes for Mega Digimon. And then Super Robot War Wise DLC is going to come out on December or November 21st and has a Kamen Rider coming to the game. Oh, let's see, as well as Galaxy Cyclone Rager? Rager? Big O, Futopi, and yeah, Kamen Rider. For the longest time, I thought Big O was an American cartoon.
It had a good dub.
It gave me such Batman the Animated Series vibes. That's who I thought did it. But so yeah, you can look forward to that. We've got an Octopath Traveler Zero demo out now for PC, PS4, PS5,
Think this has already been
Xbox.
out for Switch for a while, right?
Oh, it has been.
I think so.
Lets players play up to 3 hours and access the game's opening and the first chapter of the Retribution story's three different story arcs. And the first chapter of the Restoration story and save progress can be transferred. The game comes out everywhere on December 4th. And I forgot this was coming out, so I put it on the Christmas list.
Oops.
Yeah. Because I love the first few games, so I'm curious what the town building's going to be like.
And how they bring it over from mobile.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy played this a lot and liked it,
Yeah.
right?
The mobile
He's
game?
excited about
Yeah.
playing the new one.
Awesome. Elden Ring Nightreign is getting DLC called the Forsaken Hollows, including two new playable Nightfarers and third day bosses, field bosses, a new shifting earth, and new points of interest.
Who's I don't know anyone playing Nightreign. I've seen
I
some
know.
people stream it, but that's it.
I have some friends, but I wasn't that interested. I don't want Monster Hunter in my From Software.
Fair.
But I'm weird like that. This DLC comes out on December 4th. Wow, lots of things coming out on December 4th. The Wandering Sword is coming to consoles. This is a martial arts RPG. Was it? Yeah, it was a. Wait, hang on.
This
Was
is
it
the one that
originally on
looks like
Steam?
Octopath, but
Yeah, this
Yeah.
is the one that looks HD 2D, but not, but it's not.
Yeah, released for PC in 2023. Now coming to PS5. PS5 on May 28th with a Nintendo Switch and Switch 2 planned to release later. And the console versions are going to include the PC DLC Mount Pack. Mount Pack, Supreme Steed, and Immortal Trails Across the Blue Sea is part of the game. So I guess there were two DLCs for the PC version. And yeah. Looks kind of like the like somebody put Suikoden into 2D HD. Then we can look forward to that. Threads of Time. This is from Ryo and Humble Games with it, and it's a time traveled RPG. It's detailing its main characters. You'll be recruiting characters from different eras to restore the ancient order of the Time Knights.
We've got a witch, we've got a fox girl, and we've got a dwarf riding a dinosaur.
Okay, the dwarf riding a dinosaur is actually kind of cute.
By the way, the Fox Girl, of course, is from the future, because that's where fox ninjas come from, apparently. I didn't make the
futuristic
rules.
Futuristic fox ninjas.
This is a 2.5D turn-based RPG, and we don't have a release date.
We'll see. I mean, it's got very promising art and premise, so I hope it turns out good.
Yeah,
Threads of Time. Keep wanting to say Threads of Fate, but that's
that's honestly what I thought this was going to be a spiritual successor to.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it looks more 2D HD and kind of gives me Live-A-Live vibes. Live-A-Live.
Live-A-Live? Live-A-Live-y. Livy-A-Live. Live-A-Live-A. What's the next one?
A Trange Overlord limited edition has been revealed.
What is this word, Etrange? Etrange? That's not a word. It's just the word strange, but they changed the S to an E.
Yeah, this is the game from the Disgaea creator that's an action RPG. That's the musical action RPG.
Yeah.
And it's going to release internationally in early 2026. The limited edition includes the deluxe edition of the game for PS5 or Nintendo Switch, including a mini art book and digital soundtrack, a collector's box, art book, a soundtrack selection CD, a music acrylic stand, and a sticker sheet.
Art book and some plastic. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, acrylic things are the new strange...
Well, I mean, it costs nothing. That's what it is.
Yeah. I prefer cloth maps and enamel pens myself.
Yeah. We can't afford stuffed little characters anymore. No, you get a piece of plastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am curious about this game, though.
It certainly looks weird. Need to figure out what the heck the combat is like. I mean, it's action. I couldn't quite understand from the trailer last week what the musical notes and items that were swirling around you, how the heck that played into the combat.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to see what our review score is, if anybody reviews this. Character Bank announces VR RPG Knights of Fiona. Plan to release on MetaQuest and PC via Steam. And what are you doing in this game? You're basically going...
the VR stuff? Action-y. Yeah. You know, you're finding stuff.
Yeah. So something to test out that new Steam VR set with in 2026. There you go.
Kelly will tell us when she buys it.
Will you?
If I buy it. I don't know. It's going to depend on what the gameplay is like. I can't really do too much the 3D motion stuff in VR because of the motion sickness. Beloved Rapture gets a major update. This is a turn-based RPG, and the update is called The Songs of Archon. They add a new region filled with new enemies, new treasures, new puzzles, and more. This is a pixel art graphics with a 16-bit inspired soundtrack available currently for Steam, and that's pretty much it. JRPG inspired by the classics is the Steam page's description. Oh, and the game is on sale right now for $14. We seem very riveted by this.
Oh, very much.
Mm-hmm.
More stuff from the Sony Direct. We've got a new trailer for Dragon Quest VII Reimagined with a very ragged version of Kiefer from the game, and a new storyline centered around the adult version of Kiefer, which I'm pretty sure wasn't in the original.
There were too many storylines for you to remember. It's been too long.
Yeah. Well, apparently this game is going to severely streamline the story of that game, which it was in desperate need of.
See, that is very intriguing to me. Like, I have always stayed away from this one because all of the stories I heard about it were that it's, you know, like 150 plus hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And takes forever to get going and, you know, on and on and on. And I'm just like, no, I think I'll nope out on this.
Yeah, the 3DS version kind of streamlined it a lot, particularly the original opening, which was a slog to get through. And I'm curious how much more this is going to streamline it, or if it's going to streamline it a little too much and make it feel kind of vapid. But I guess we'll see. Because I think it was like 30 hours in before you even made it to the spot where you could change your job.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was a long one.
Was this the game that created the time to slime thing?
Yeah.
When it like hours?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a crazy long game, and it advertised it as such.
It was in that era. Look how many hours we give you.
And it says that there's going to be various quality of life improvements in this, including a redesigned UI. So I'm curious about that as well. The original game came out in Japan in the year 2000, and then the 3DS remake in Japan came out in 2013. So I guess we have a habit of revisiting this, but roughly every 13 years.
Yeah, every 12, 13 years, get a new one. Yeah.
So that's that. We've got Dynasty Warriors Origins with upcoming DLC. The Visions of Four Heroes DLC is going to include new stories, companions, weapons, and more. And it's going to come out on January 22nd, 2025. Somebody screwed up the year in this story. Apparently it came out in the past. I think they meant 2026.
I think you're right. That's fine. We'll fix it.
And the price is going to be $35. I still, given how much Dynasty Warriors DLC normally costs.
How much does it normally cost?
Well, it's not necessarily the cost as much as the sheer amount of DLC in Dynasty Warriors games that usually adds up to at least $1,000 with all the costumes and everything. But a demo of the game is out now if you want to check it out. And it's also coming to Switch 2 on the same day as the DLC that comes out.
I updated the date, Kelly. It's fixed.
Yay, thank you.
Oh, the date was referenced twice. It's not fixed. Hold on.
If you're curious about it, we have a review from Alex Fuller of the PC version. I'm pretty sure he gave it a positive. Hang on. Yeah, 4 out of 5. So, positive review. And then Demon X Machina has an expansion that's out now for $15. $15 individually or part of the Digital Deluxe Edition. The game also has a free update that included bug fixes and quality of life improvements.
Haven't played it, so I don't know. But, you know. Yeah.
This is a mech game?
More mechs.
Yeah, more giant robots. Is it action mech game like Armored Core? I can't tell from the story.
It looked like action from the trailer, but yeah.
Looks cool.
The trailer's just like a dance music trailer.
Everybody dance now?
No, it's more like electronic dance music. Boom, 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 boom. Like a DDR song, really. Like one of the hard DDR songs.
Wizard of Legend 2 is hitting the Switch this month. This looks like a Hades-like. It's gonna come on the console November 25th, and will include all the content from all the other versions with refined controls for Joy-Cons and Pro controllers. So, looks fun.
Got a trailer up that you can go check out, and I was looking for a co-op action RPG. Wait, am I not? I have a group that I can play co-op action RPGs with. I'll have to see. Wait, did this already come out, though, on other platforms? Yes.
Yeah.
In June, and nobody's talking about it. All right.
And then something I'm incredibly excited for, Pokemon Pocopia is releasing in March.
What?
This is, like, made for you, Kelly.
What is this?
It's basically Pokemon's take on Dragon Quest Builders.
Okay.
You are a ditto that turns into a human shape.
Oh, this one.
You okay. construct biomes to attract different Pokemon.
Okay.
And the Weird. Gameplay looks very Dragon Quest Builders.
Mm.
They released an extended 10-minute video about the kind of what the gameplay loop is. And my husband said it was more, said it reminded him of more Animal Crossing because of the crafting. But yeah. like you're building a town. And that's basically what Dragon Quest Builders was. So I am very much looking forward to this. I remember Matt saying that the weird looking ditto human creeped him out.
Ditto human that also at points has really weird long arms.
Mm-hmm. And turns into different Pokemon like Lapras to swim. Vaughn, didn't you? Yeah, Vaughn said that his headcanon for this game is that it's Ditto setting up a harem.
No.
You don't agree with that assessment?
I'm confused. Is this a post-apocalyptic Ditto game?
It looks like it.
That's kind of sad. Oh, now this just makes me want to cry.
Why? No,
because the trainer's long dead. And the Ditto still survives, because as far as we know, Pokemon don't die, ever. except for Cubone's mother. I'm very confused on... And the ghost Pokemon have always been ghosts. We don't... Oh, no. Oh. Who is... Why is this Tangela-related thing have a CD-ROM on its head in a...
I don't think it's, well...
Tangrowth. It's from a Tangela, but it's an evolved form, I guess.
It might have looked at a picture of a doctor and saw the reflector on its head and thought that that's what
it's going for. Okay. Oh, yeah. Good job. Okay. All right.
Because, you know, civilization is long gone, and these Pokemon are reading remnants of our civilization and mimicking it, not understanding things' actual purpose.
Bess says it's a deserted island, but I'm thinking it's a post-apocalyptic deserted island after the sea levels rose and nuclear war, and I'm going to just stop inventing more headcanon. This will become the depression game.
This
game needs Depresso, Kelly!
Yeah.
Oh, from Pale World. Oh, man.
Don't give Nintendo ideas.
That's true. Alright.
No, in a bit of irony, I got an email from the Pokemon Center titled Ditto Days that is highlighting its Ditto-themed merchandise.
Oh. Interesting that they would co-market like that.
Yeah. I really want this Ditto Comfy Friends plush that looks nice and soft.
Kelly, you don't need more plushes. You have real-life cats. Go cuddle them.
I was actually banned from interacting with the kitten this week.
Why?
So that Vaughn can bond with her.
Are you stealing his cat, Kelly?
I have not stolen the cat. She, for some reason, likes me.
Yep. This is why I thought it was silly that Vaughn wanted to pick his replacement cat, because it's like, you don't get to pick that. The cat picks who their human is, not you.
And to be fair, her favorite human is whoever's giving her attention at any given time.
Relevant.
But,
yep.
Mm-hmm. I have agreed, and I said, okay, if she tries to join the cuddle puddle, I will bring her upstairs to you, and that happened last night.
Wait, so you had to disrupt the cuddle puddle just to carry her upstairs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no, she tried to start the cuddle puddle.
Oh, she tried to start it. Oh my gosh. The Ditto just turned into a Lapras. Alright, sure, why not? And it's got big head mode on whatever Pokemon it turns into, because creepy. Sorry, this Pokopia is still... I really don't like how it just vomits out water to... When is this game out?
March. March 5th.
Okay.
Huh.
Pokemon Harvest Moon with builders.
Yep. Developed by Koei Tecmo.
Of course it is. It's not like... It's a Pokemon game that's not like a normal Pokemon game. Therefore, it can't be made by the Pokemon Company. Come on.
Oh, and the also controversy is that this is the first Nintendo game that's a key card.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Why is that already known? Like, it's not out till March.
They announced it.
Why did they announce that it was a key card?
Because it's pre-ordered.
Oh.
I think they have to disclose that on the box that it's a key card.
Well, yeah. Listen, key cards are better than normal keys, other than the fact that you can lose them. They are an upgrade from normal digital keys because you can, like, share them and play them on another. Like, I look at key cards as displacing digital keys more than displacing cartridges, but I guess I don't really know. We need stats. Because if people stop making physical cartridges that have a game, well, who cares? Because the game on them doesn't work anyway. What? Who cares about a physical cartridge if the game's broken and needs a patch?
Fair.
It's the same issue then.
I think it's so that you can still loan your friends games without having to deal with the virtual card BS.
Yes. No, yeah. Man, that's what this is for, yes. But, like, you could have already done that with a full physical game card.
And to be perfectly honest, if this is going to be a key card game, I might just end up buying it digitally anyway.
Honestly, that's what I would do too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm not going to share, like, okay. But you could sell it. You can still sell it, though. It's a digital game, but you can sell it. So there's a consuming advantage. It's just not the one people want, which is just fully patched games on cartridge that last forever. But
it's the idea that you don't actually own your games.
No, and, but that's been, that was 20 years ago that happened. Deal with it. Or change it.
I understand both sides of the argument.
We need to do like legislation, like stop killing games for the year. All right.
What's coming out this week, Chris?
Oh, I didn't look. Let's that's a good point. What is coming out this week? Let's take a look at the release calendar. Released games. Releases.com, our new favorite. That's October. Hold on. I need to get into November first, I think. Need to learn how to use this calendar. Cool. Here we go. November 17th is... All right, that's the future. All right, we've got something called Dungeons and Kingdoms, which may not be an RPG, but... No, it's a strategy and RPG hybrid where you, I guess, manage a kingdom and then go into dungeons as well. But it's early access, so who knows if it'll be you want to actually jump into that yet. We've got, what is this, Peace Island, which I'm only opening up because it looks like he pays a cat. Yep.
What?
One fine day in a remote main island community, 9 cats wake up to discover their humans have disappeared. To survive, they must band together to uncover the mysteries of their storied island home, and ultimately, it is up to them to decide, are the humans worth bringing back? No. But here's the... it's coming to PC Early Access, Kelly, on Monday.
And I don't know if that one's going to be too sad.
Well, I mean, it's just you and cats at first for a while, so probably don't have to worry too much about the sad parts.
I guess. Ever since losing Jack, I've been a little bit sensitive about sad cat media.
Sad Pokemon media, no problem. Sad cat media?
The first episode of the Mighty Nein series premiered on YouTube this week, and a scene made me cry a little bit with Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, you know.
Adventure, RPG, indie, casual, Peace Island, single player, open world. Yeah, so this looks like you're going to do open world cat survival things. You should look into it, Kelly.
I'll look into it. I just might not buy it right
away. And then you can go play Leaf Blower Company.
Oh, I wishlisted that one. That's out. Fun. Yep.
Look at that. You blow leaves. It's out a little late, I'll be honest. It should have been out last month because we are at the point, at least in Wisconsin, where they're starting to do final pickups for leaves because they're all down.
They're dead.
Yeah.
It's dead now.
Yeah. Here's one where you play as shepherd dogs.
Are you sheep herding?
It's called shepherds or sheepherds. Why is it called sheepherds? That's not how.
Is one of the unlockable characters a pig?
It looks like you can have all sorts of dog breeds and put costumes on them and glasses and hats and stuff. And then you herd sheeps into various goals and stuff.
But you can't play as a pig.
Why would you play? Because Babe?
Yeah.
Okay. Deadpool VR is out this week. No?
Did okay. you not like Babe?
It's fine. We're just, it's old. Move on. What is this? Morsels. What is... You are a hungry mouse scrounging for scrap when you meet a magical sentient fatberg who teaches you... What in the world is going... Okay. Creature collector. Morsels. It's a creature collector. People like creature collectors. With combat. This is a weird looking one. That's not RPG though. Deadpool VR is finally out, but that's not RPG. Ah! Return to Moria. Durin's Folk. It's Tolkien, so it must be an RPG, right?
Sure.
Game story-driven survival crafting. Durin's Folk expansion to Return to Moria. So, I forgot that there was a survival game set in the Mines of Moria. That's a survival crafting game. That's interesting. Must not have been very good. Squirrel with a gun? That doesn't count.
Hurtopia? That's been out for a while.
All right. Moonlighter 2. Moonlighter 2 Early Access. The Endless Vault. There we go. So early access for Moonlighter 2, if you want to pick it up before it's done. That's this week. Dusk Punk? Is that an RPG? No. Kirby game. Kirby Air Riders is not an RPG. R-Type Delta HD Boost. That is not an RPG.
I thought that was a tactical game.
No, is this the tactical one? I don't think so. This looks like normal R-Type side-scrolling stuff.
Okay. I knew that there was a tactical one coming out.
Maybe it's in here, too, and I'm just not noticing it. I mean, got IT Specialist Simulator? That can't be... No. That looks Does just like a bad simulator game that's going to show up on Let's Game It Out or something. What's up?
Does it have a dedicated, have you turned it off and on again?
I'm sure it does. It has to, right? Astroneer, no. All right, I'm not seeing a lot of RPGs. Oh, that One Piece Pirate Warrior game you were interested in, Pirate Warriors 4.
What's that coming out for, Switch 2?
Switch 2 and PlayStation 4, it says. I don't understand that. It's and also PlayStation 5, Xbox, I don't know. So I guess everything. Yeah, everything.
Because I was going to say it already was out on everything probably but Switch 2.
Oh, Kelly, this is, yeah, you're right. According to this, it came out in 2020 for PC and Switch 1. And now it's coming out on everything else. What the heck? Why? Why are we...
Because it came out for...
5 years ago, and now we're going to put it on everything else?
Before, like, one of the story arcs was even finished.
All right. Oh, Lady Death says Return to Moria is quite good, so... Yet another game I probably won't play, but would be nice if I had time and people to play it with. All right, that's it. Sorry, so not much there, but you got that couple expansions, couple survivors, and a game where you play as a cat building a city, I guess, which is weird. That's what I got for you, Kelly. Now what?
Into the Grid is available on Steam Early Access. Will be available on November 17th.
Kelly, I'm wrong. There's one other game coming out this week. Demon School.
Oh, yeah. The one that got delayed because of Silksong.
Demon School is a streamlined tactics game where movement equals action. Decisions can be rewound and speedy mechanics remove the genre's traditional cruft. Plan each student's move at your leisure, then hit the action button and watch it all play out in devastating character-based combos. Yeah, I don't know much about Demon School, but it looks weird. Like SMT Tactics or something. Like, that might actually be a good description.
Looks kind of cool.
SMT Overwatch, maybe? Or XCOM? Without the building? I don't know. Check it out. That's this week. And sorry to... You said Into the Grid?
No, it's okay. Yeah, Into the Grid is available. Will be available on November 17th for $15 with a 10% discount for early adopters. You are controlling hackers and their fight against evil corporations.
What else would a hacker fight against?
Don't know. The game is partly inspired by tabletop titles as players explore a tactical map and engage in in-card battle. In-card battle battles?
So it is a card battling game with first-person fights, but isometric hacking movement like you're in a Shadowrun game, or you've got an avatar running around like the computer that you're in. And then it looks cool. I would be interested in this if it's good. Yeah. No, this looks neat. You should check out Into the Grid. Unfortunately, it's early access, right? So I'm just not a fan of buying into games before they're out.
Can't say I blame you.
We've got some impressions up of games that are coming, right?
Let's see. Yeah, where Winds Meet impression from Alex Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
An action RPG drawing from Chinese mythology and history.
It's going to be free to play.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a thing. Let's see.
That's all I needed to say.
The narrative's biggest stumbling block is its general inability to give players a fully coherent chain of events to follow. You should read Alex's impression of this thing. See what you think of it. Then we have a preview from Alex again of Starbites, which is a turn-based mech RPG. So I assume that means Anime Man is planning on playing this, right?
Probably.
In the small category of mech games he's not into. I can never keep it straight. So you are running... Okay, so... Okay, so this is a mech game on a war-torn planet that's all, like, destroyed and stuff. You've never seen anything like this before.
So Metal Max, but hopefully good?
The story follows rookie scavenger Lucida, who is based in the tower-shaped Delight City and seeks to escape the planet. She finds the Oracle, blah, 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 blah. Things happen. You pilot mechs around, you fight robots,
turn-based combat.
When is it out? It's going to be a while, right? Next year. So go, if you're interested in mech games and turn-based combat games, which hopefully I am, you should probably check it out. I'll probably read this more later. It for our show. Did we run topics?
I think that was everything.
Man.
We got them all.
Does that mean I can go back to that Survivors game you just told me about?
Yeah.
Oh, you're already addicted?
I might already be addicted. I just wish there was more to do in Ball Pit, honestly. That's the one I'm real sad about, being like kind of... Well, there is more to do, but it's like you don't do much other than just, hey, the levels are harder now, and you can still beat them.
Yeah, once you've unlocked everything, it's just about increasing your power infinitely.
Yeah.
Isn't Vampire Survivors like that, too?
Yes. This is why, like... I keep wanting to go play the DLCs for Vampire Survivor, but I don't.
Because I think they had a free update they recently. They did,
with Balatro. So there's a bunch of Balatro-themed stuff in there now. Stage, characters, weapons. But not really anything new to do with it other than play those stage and characters and weapons. I feel like the people who really get mileage out of Vampire Survivors at this point are the people who like to restart their saves and speedrun from the start. I guess that's okay, because there's a bunch of other Survivors-like games I can play than that I do play. So, it's fine. Hey, speaking of that, what are you going to play this week? I'm going to play a little bit more PoE for sure. Probably a little bit more Mega Bonk, because there's some endgame type stuff I am still interested in doing that Survivors-like. And I might get pulled into this one that Kelly told me about with the shards of whatever. I don't remember its name already. What are you going to play, Kelly?
I don't know if I'm going to boot up Rune Factory Guardians of Azuma or not. We'll see what kind of mood I'm in when I finally wrap up Hyrule Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're finally actually done with it?
Yeah. Which will probably be this weekend.
Finish up all your side stuff.
Yeah.
Ellie, you know what you should play is Squeak Cross.
Squeak Cross? The bouncy...
Mousy themed Picross. It's on sale as part of the Animal Fest. You do Picross, and the picture then turns into an item that you get to place in your house.
I think there's a Switch version of that too.
Well, what are you waiting for? And you can design how your mouse looks too. Go ahead.
Because when I get down a Picross rabbit hole, it's hard to crawl back out.
Well, this is a Picross mouse hole, so.
But it's mice.
I'm sorry, but they're at least somewhat cute, right? It's fine.
I mean, I do like rats, I guess.
Think of them like an appetizer.
I can pretend they're rats. Rats are cuter than mice.
Sure.
They call rats pocket puppies because of how attached they get to you.
Aw. I would get a rat, except for two things. One, I have a lot of cats in the house. And two, imagine they don't live very long. Like, just a few years.
2 to 3 years. 2 years is pretty pushing it.
Hmm.
No, believe me, I've badly wanted pet rats for a while, but even with my cat's collective one brain cell, I don't feel like they would do well with cats.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's funny. I left a comment on a YouTuber's video asked who has cats and rats. If they'd be willing to do a video on how to make it work, and they replied and said, yes, that's a great video idea. So I'm curious what they are going to say.
Mm.
Everybody
they're probably going to say it's a lot of work.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody I've like talking to Reddit, the idea of having cats and rats in the same house just sounds like blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen people make it work, and I'm just curious what the secret sauce is, or if their cats have one brain cell too, or what. But that particular YouTube channel recently adopted a couple of feral kittens, which I imagine wouldn't be a good idea, but they seem fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm curious what this channel is gonna say. I need to say the name of the channel.
Okay.
Just to plug
what is
them,
it? What is it?
Trying to find it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't.
Like, I want to move on to Josh. I don't know what this channel's name is yet.
Hall of Rats 703.
Hall of Rats. All right. 703.
Yeah. There were other Hall of Rats?
702 of them. All right, Josh, what are you playing this week?
I'm going to try and get further in Outer Worlds 2, and then I need to get back to FFT as well. But yeah. I'm traveling later this month, so maybe I'll save it for that.
Okay. Traveling's a good time for tech.
Yeah, that'll work.
FFT is another one that's been on my list for another playthrough.
It's a really good version.
I know. I'm due for another playthrough, and you guys have been plugging it so much. Too much joys.
Yep, too many. It's a good year for games.
Yeah.
So we're going to let you go back and play some more games. So I hope everyone, you had fun watching. Stay tuned for more Twitch content on twitch.tv/RPGamer. That's where you can follow our Twitch channel and watch this show live 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on most Saturdays. And you can go to the website, rpgamer.com, participate in the community there, read the news stories, comment on them, and then you can join our Discord and hang out with folks there where we've got tons of channels and you can voice chats and just share emotes and post stories about Steam computers and how excited you are that they're coming and cost less than gaming machines usually. That's it. Thanks. Stay tuned for I think Tam's on tonight. Tomorrow should be like Scar and other folks, and I don't know the schedule lately. We'll see you next week. Like and subscribe on the YouTube if you like to watch this here there, and just review us on whatever podcast store you like to download us from. And of course, when I say store, all this stuff is free because it's a free podcast. So hope you like it. Let us know what we can do better, and we'll catch you next week. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we did Extra Life last week.
Uh-oh.
How much did we make?
We do?
How do I have to bring it up. See. Fess, yeah, the question of the week is, how do you do the, do you have a hobby? Oh, that's not the real site. Extra-life.
A hobby that you were hesitant to try at first, but found a passion for. That's the question of the week.
Extralife.org. Don't go to extralife.com, by the way. That's squatting. All right, how did we do? RP Gamer, let's see. We did not hit our goal, but we raised $1,130. Thank you very much for everyone who came out and supported us while we're doing all that. We hit a number of milestones, and those will be happening. And I don't know what else to tell you. The incentive things was cool, and I'm glad we hit a couple of those. And yeah, so with that, thanks for joining us for the Extra Life thing last week. Whatever money we make is good. It helps to go help heal kids. And I'm glad that all that stuff was raised. And we will try to do even better next year. And it was really fun to hang out with y'all and play Among Us and things like that. So we will see you next week for real this time. Okay? Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.